The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
All true stories on the Summit County Justice Files. Welcome. It's your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Now, before we get started, just a quick disclaimer, Tom. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty.
In a court of law.
In a court of law. It's so hard to say that. The disclaimer. You know what I mean? No, just the whole thing. Just like whole everyone's disclaimer. Presumed innocent.
Well, yeah. It's all the small print that we have
I
to
didn't
say
it.
Up front.
So just say, I didn't do it.
That's it.
Ask anyone presumed who did innocent. It, and they'll go, I didn't do it.
They're presumed innocent.
They're presumed innocent.
You know, crime may not pay. But it makes for some interesting stories on the Summit County Justice Files, so buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few minutes of law enforcement levity. Because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone, unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes. Let's get into it. There is a homeowner who was out of the country, observed an unfamiliar vehicle in his driveway on his surveillance camera. And he asked deputies to look into it since he was not expecting anyone to be at his home while he was away. And we have that call.
Hi there. I've got a little rental property up in Ptarmigan Mountain. And I've got a Ring camera on it. And it's I just noticed two cars pull up. I'm actually out of the country, and they showed up last night, and I don't recognize them. I was just going to see, there's a slight chance it could be an old cleaner of mine, but I was going to see if anyone could maybe just do like a swing by and like knock on the door kind of thing.
And are they there currently? What's the time?
I'm looking at the camera. There's two cars there. It doesn't look like it's anything like nefarious, which is strange, and I don't think it's any of my friends. I mean, there's an off chance it could be somebody who just, I don't know, knew that it was, like, nobody was renting it right now. I don't know. It's just strange. I don't recognize the cars. I don't recognize any of it, and no one texted me at all about staying there, so it's a bit odd, I guess.
Okay. And what are the vehicle descriptions?
Hold on. One looks to be, like, a small white SUV, and the other one's a small gray SUV.
Suspicious visitors.
But not nefarious, but not a friend or foe.
And again, it's possible it's one of my old... Go ahead.
Do you have license plates on them?
I don't. My camera only works so well. I can kind of just get vague stuff.
Gotcha.
Everything's under surveillance.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give this over to a deputy. They may reach out to you by phone first. Their numbers show up as blocked, restricted, or unknown. So if you do receive any of those calls, be sure to answer.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, and my only thing, and I will stay by the phone, but I'm out of the country, and so there's a chance it's spotty, but if they leave me a message, I'll get right back to them. But either way, I'll stay by the phone.
All right, thank you.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good day.
Was it just some of his friends wanting to stop by, or?
Let's go through the checklist. It's no one I recognize.
Right.
I haven't rented it out. It's not a renter.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't look nefarious. But looks suspicious. I'm not... That's confusing.
So did deputies respond?
Deputies responded.
Of course.
As we always do.
Yes.
And of course, it was a friend of his.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Just a buddy wanted to stop by and check on the place.
Yes. I mean, you would think like they'd know their buddy was out of town, but yeah. It's just like it's funny the caller's so sure. Like, it's not a friend. It doesn't look nefarious, but it is kind of suspicious, and gosh, I just don't know. Could you have someone swing by, like, because we have nothing else to do. So we'll just...
just swing by.
We'll just swing by.
Well, you're in the neighborhood. Come on by.
And if they are renters, could you get a credit card from them or something, you know, would you mind? Yeah, of course, like, these things usually turn out. It usually turns out to be someone you know, but how do you not know that someone's... I don't know how you don't know.
So is improved as the security is with these Ring cameras, do they sometimes just frustrate the hell out of you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because it's too much information.
Right.
Technology provides now too much information. Now, I would say, that being said, we've talked about this many times, like this whole controversial flock camera system that's
right.
all over the country, and we have here in Summit County. It has been extremely helpful in investigations, both criminal and non-criminal, or we're looking for somebody, or in a mental health crisis. So sometimes the technology is our friends, but sometimes it's the people with the technology that
too much information.
Yeah, too much. And then and look, here's someone out of the country,
yeah,
looking at their Ring phone on their phone, talking about he has spotty service, but boy, he can get his ring camera on there. And he's calling all the way back to home in Summit County here going, hey, if you got some deputies that aren't doing anything, could they just swing by?
So this man was obviously recontacted and well assured that there was nothing wrong.
That it was just friends stopping by to say hi.
How nice. Let's talk about this lost weapon. A hiker out on a popular trail in unincorporated Silverthorne reported that on return to their vehicle, they noticed their gun was no longer in its holster.
You know, I'm the sheriff, carry a gun, but I am surprised at how many people carry guns out in the forest. Not hunters, just carrying guns. And I'm even more surprised, or maybe I shouldn't be, how many of these people lose their guns in the forest. Which tells me that when they take it in the forest, it's that one or two times a year that they take it out of their house. And they really have no idea how to properly secure it. And they usually, this one figured out right when they got back to their car. They usually don't figure it out for like, till the next time they want to take their gun out, because sure. they forgot that they even took it in the forest.
So did he leave his gun in the car and it came back and it wasn't in the holster?
No, he lost it in the forest.
He totally lost it in the forest.
Fell out of the holster.
Oh,
it's gone
no.
somewhere.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sure eventually we'll find it, or a hiker will find it and turn it in. That's
and I'm sure we'll have a future story here on the Summit County Justice Files reporting about this found weapon in the forest.
But if you're going to have things like weapons like this, at least keep track of model, serial numbers. This guy couldn't tell us anything about this gun.
Oh,
so this
boy.
Is going to be one of these that we have to find the gun first,
yeah.
and then we can match it up with the owner. We couldn't match the owner up with the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we talk about responsible weapon ownership, gun ownership, or is that like a whole different show?
Oh, that's its own podcast.
Yeah.
We can talk for hours on it.
We can touch on a few things, like just being aware of, you know, what the laws are, for one, and for two, how to operate properly that weapon that you've acquired.
Yeah, yeah. And what's amazing is we have a really great gun range here, as you know. And
yep.
here in Summit County, we have, I would say, I'm really proud of our responsible gun owners, because we have gun owners that do it for target practice. They do it as a family thing. They do it for hunting. They do it. There's a million different reasons. A lot of our ranchers, obviously, are gun holders. The people we're talking about, like this one, they're not locals. These are not people that live here and are part of our responsible gun owners. These are people, like I said, that take it out the one time they go hiking in the summer and they think they're going to run into grizzly bears or something. I don't know what they think they're going to run into in our forest.
And if they even know how to properly use the gun.
If it's fallen out of a holster and
yeah,
it's gone.
They obviously don't know how to use
it. They obviously don't know how to use it.
Man. Training, very, very important for anybody that wants to own a handgun or any kind of a weapon. Training, you've got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
That is just paramount.
And know why you're carrying it in the forest. Like if you're going on a hike and you never carry a gun and you're not like a concealed handgun holder, like what do you think you're going to run into in the forest that you need a handgun? I don't know
either. Other hikers.
Other hikers.
Other hikers.
Dom.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you won't need a handgun when you encounter other hikers on the trail.
So all the road rage incidents we talk about on the podcast.
Trail rage.
See, now I'm starting to understand, Tom. Now okay. Maybe there's some trail rage building out there.
Right. Stay tuned. Summit County Justice Files will be covering any trail rage in future episodes.
Please leave your guns at home if you don't know how to properly stow and use them.
Very simple.
Yeah.
A Summit County resident explained to deputies that he had received multiple texts from several different unknown numbers trying to extort money from him by threatening to share nude photos of him on the internet. Okay, first of all, where the nude photos come from, and is that something you should be afraid of?
This sounds like a wash, rinse, repeat because we talk about these things
all the time.
And I'm sure our listeners are like, is that the same story? It's like, no, believe it or not, we talk about these because they are reoccurring. Like, there are people out there constantly sending new photos of themselves to somebody in a foreign country, usually. And then they end up getting extorted. At least this one, the person got scared and blocked the number really quick and did not transfer the money. Did transfer the photos. There's some nude photos out there on the internet of this person, but they did not get defrauded out of money. Extorted.
Frauds are everywhere.
We were just talking about frauds everywhere.
Yeah. And we'll keep talking about them. I'm sure they're not going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
There was a reckless driving incident. A deputy on routine Highway 9 patrol observed a vehicle heading southbound going at a very high rate of speed through Farmer's Corner. And the deputy initiated a stop, but needed to turn around to catch up to the vehicle. And we had that call as well.
Cal 33.
I just had a black Subaru with a roof rack and no rear bumper past me at Highway 9, mile marker 94, going southbound towards Brock. Going 83 miles an hour, I lost out.
83.
Can you advise Brock?
Brock
48, I'm at 9 to Sand Miller right now and I didn't see anything, so he's probably pretty far ahead of me.
Brock 48, I believe I'm behind that vehicle at Highway 9 at 450.
Brock 48, 12.
Brock 48,
I'll have
traffic on my vehicle,
speed
market.
Brock 48, go ahead with the plate.
Town
33, on scene.
Town 33, on scene.
Oh, what's going on, man? I'm doing okay, how are you? So I'm Deputy Hinman, Summit County Sheriff's Office.
Nice to meet you.
You passed me. Do you know where the high school is?
Yeah, right, yeah, Farmer's Corner.
Farmer's Corner, yeah. So I was going up the hill past the high school around mile marker 94, okay?
Okay.
You passed me going 83 miles an hour.
Okay.
Why
I was confusing
so
about the black and white vehicle.
I'm trying to reach the car. I've had my turbo. I had some open road. I was just shifting through the gears trying to get it, my turbo to work right with my computer.
Okay.
You know.
I got you, man.
So, my bad.
83 over the speed limit is too fast, man.
I understand.
Right?
I understand.
Can you agree with me with that?
No, I fully agree with you. I'm not lying to you. I'm trying to tune the car.
Okay.
I had some open road.
Okay. So I passed you, right? I passed you.
I saw a positive cop, wasn't sure.
Yeah. So I passed you. Once I passed you, I flicked my lights on instantly. I saw your taillights slam on the brakes for a second. Okay. So did you see me?
That's when I thought I saw you, but I wasn't sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just hit the gas.
I ran on 38 off. Yeah. I didn't. So it was you.
It was me. Yes. Okay. So I flicked on the lights immediately. Right. You passed me. You slammed on the brakes. I saw your taillights. I started popping a UE over the median to come and pull you over, and you were freaking gone, man. Gone. Do you know how fast I was going to try to catch up to you before I disengaged? Over 100. Over 100 miles an hour.
What? I guarantee I wasn't doing that because this thing will blow up if I do that. I'm trying to figure out second and third gear. Third gear gets
me. That's what it is. I was trying to figure out the gears.
Did you say, shit, cop just passed me, slow down for a second, and then you beelined it, man? No?
I went through. I was doing the same thing, about 80, 85, because that's right where I have to shift, and I've been trying to reprogram this thing so that my turbo runs right.
Okay. Then can you tell me
it's
something?
It's a programming issue.
You passed me.
Yeah. Right? I saw a cop. I wasn't sure.
You thought you saw a cop. Did you see my lights flick on when you saw me? Then, okay.
No, I did not.
Then if you thought you saw a cop, but my lights are on at the same time, where's the differential in there?
I thought I saw in the front of the traffic. That's where you were, right? And coming off the
light. You're coming down the hill.
He knows exactly where he was.
You passed me.
And okay? I
flicked my lights on. You slammed the brakes. I popped the meter.
At some point, you should just stop trying to explain, right?
You're gone.
You would think.
Okay.
I went through the light, and that's, you know, it turned red.
But again, to me, it seems like you're running from me, right? That's exactly what it seemed like, right? Because, again, I flipped, and I'm going over 100 to catch up to you, and I don't even put eyes on you, right? And for me, when you passed me, you clearly saw me, man. You slammed on the brakes.
Thought it was a cop.
Right? You thought it was a cop.
Stop.
You slammed on the brakes, right?
Yes.
And then I flipped the median to try to catch up to you, and you take off, and you're gone, man. And you're gone.
I did not see your lights come on. I didn't see you flip them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that being said, you are under arrest, man.
What?
You're under arrest.
That being said, yeah.
Okay.
Turn around.
All right.
Hands behind your back. Well, you're going faster than 80, again, because I was going 107. I didn't even see. I wasn't putting ground on. Okay. You were running from me. That's exactly what you were doing. Okay, I'm done asking you questions.
Keep that off.
All right, count 33.
So you can see for the deputy, the adrenaline gets a little going.
Oh, yeah, big time. Absolutely.
For the reasons that he said, you know, you think the deputy obviously picked up on that this guy obviously saw him.
Yeah.
Slams on his brakes and then decides to hit the gas.
I don't get that one.
You know, and this is that place where we know as locals that between the town of Frisco and the town of Breckenridge, we call it the gauntlet because for some reason, you know, the speed limit's 50, but as you can see, the people think it's 80, 85.
I get passed on that stretch by people, I mean, mostly out of state, but a lot of locals, too.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. I mean, everybody thinks it's just one of those, like, let's see how fast we can go stretches of highway.
It's amazing because we get road rage incidents because people are trying to drive the speed limit.
Yeah.
We get, like, mornings like this morning when it's really icy and we get horrible accidents.
Mm-hmm.
All of this due to speed. We work it with State Patrol. We work it with Breckenridge Police. I mean, like this incident, Breckenridge Police happened to be on the other end of it and assisted with the stop. These people deserve to be. You know, this guy got arrested for speeding over 30 miles an hour and felony eluding because he admitted that he saw the cop and then slammed on the brake and then hit the gas. He probably thought because the cop's going the opposite direction.
Sure.
And so he's probably thinking, oh, he'll never turn around. He just turned on his lights to warn me, like, slow down. But I'm going to hit the gas.
Right. Sure.
So he hit the gas all the way to jail.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's something.
That's just amazing.
These audio files make it, though,
yeah,
right?
Because absolutely.
We could tell this story about, a guy was speeding 80 miles an hour and got arrested for speeding. You're like, oh, okay, great.
Sure, but then when you hear what went down, it's a whole different story.
Priceless.
Yes, it is. Yes, we do. We have wildlife on this mountaintop, and the wildlife once in a while interacts with vehicles. Deputies responded to a vehicle versus moose accident in unincorporated Breckenridge. What happened there? I can imagine, but let's hear the details.
You know, I bring this up for the listeners that maybe listen that don't live here that can't imagine that we have giant friggin' moose running around here.
They're bigger than horses.
Oh,
they are very large animals.
They are extremely like their belly is higher than the hood of your car.
Yeah,
right. When you say the bottom of them, like you could see daylight
your car easily. Yeah,
yeah. So every once in a while, as you said, that we get in these vehicle versus animal accidents. And usually, as was the case with this one, both the animal and the vehicle
had just to be put down.
Yes. Well, that was good, Tom. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, the animal did have to be put down, and the car was was, it looked like a bomb went off.
Wow.
And what's interesting is a few hours later, I was traveling right by here. And again, this is that same stretch of road we were just talking about with that
Highway 9
it's,
between Frisco and Breck.
This person could have been speeding. I don't know. Yeah. But same stretch of highway. But boy, when I passed it a few hours later, it had looked like, I mean, the amount of carnage.
Oh.
You know, and blood in the road was just, it looked like there was a mass murder. And it was just a moose.
How was the driver?
The driver with airbags was shaken but not stirred. Or shaken and stirred, I guess.
I bet.
But not injured.
Not injured.
But
that's
the car was totaled and the moose was totaled. Still breathing. Deputies had to put it down. We put down lots of animals, you know, when we have to. But boy, this is just one of those, like, really? They got vehicle versus moose?
Yeah.
People hear about vehicle versus dog, cat, you know, squirrel.
Yeah, up here we've got foxes and raccoons and mooses and deer
elk,
and bear.
And elk.
Yeah. These are very large mammals, they will do an incredible amount of damage to your vehicle if you hit them, and you don't want that to happen.
Yeah, when you think about the moose being the biggest, then the elk, and then the deer being the smallest of those three, but even a deer can
I know well.
How many deer have you hit, Tom?
Well, I had a brush with one. I actually found the video, the dash cam video.
Oh, you did?
I'll have to play that for you. I'll have to show you that. The deer that I just sideswiped, and it wiped the dirt off my car, but didn't do any damage, which is totally amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, in the dark.
In a new car.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this traffic stop when a driver was stopped by a deputy for a traffic violation, and the driver was initially unable to provide proof of insurance, so he called his wife to get the information. Did his wife have that information?
His wife had his wife didn't have the information because he didn't have insurance.
Oh.
But to add insult to injury, the wife he called, there's a protection order that he's not allowed to he's not allowed to call her.
Oh, no.
He's specifically prohibited from contacting her in any way, shape, or form. You know, as the deputy ran this person through the big computer, determined that not only was there a protection order and he was arrested for that, but he also had two outstanding warrants. I mean, don't break the law if the law is looking for you. You just make it easy.
You'll make it a lot worse. Just make it a whole lot worse.
Oh, you know, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, deputies responded to a report of a disturbance between two drivers traveling northbound on Highway 9 between Breckenridge and Frisco. That stretch
again?
We're talking about. During this incident, one driver made a slicing motion across his neck with his finger while driving and then held up a knife and displayed it toward the other driver and her passenger. And we have a call on that one.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
I came to report a reckless driving. I'm at Summit Colorado Highway. This car
State Highway 9.
This car just threatened me with a knife just because he almost crashed into me. And there's hella traffic and he almost crashed into me and he just passed me and threatened me with a knife. I have license of his plate and pictures of his car. If you need that information, I can pull over right now.
Okay, go ahead and pull over. Do you still see the vehicle?
No, it's...
Okay, hold on a second.
Reckless driving, like, he keeps cutting up and stuff, so I already lost him. I caught up to him just to take a picture of his car and his license. He turned into Main Street right now.
He just turned onto Main Street? What's the color and type of vehicle?
Sure. Give me a second. I'm turning right now.
That's okay. Where did this start? Was it in Breck, Silverthorne, Frisco?
It was in Breck, like the curve from like the high school, a little bit down.
Okay. So are you in Breck now or in Frisco now?
No, I'm in Frisco right now. I'm at the marina.
Okay. Okay. What's the color and type of vehicle?
The color is like a light brownish.
Okay. What kind of vehicle is it?
What vehicle is it?
It's a Subaru.
It's a Subaru. Yeah, he was wearing a hat and like a blazer, not a blazer, like what would you call it? Like a flannel type shirt.
Okay. Okay.
And he was alone in the car.
Okay. Any facial hair or glasses?
She's got it pretty together for just going through this.
And he had like a beard.
Okay.
Like a shaved beard.
Wait, did you get a description of the driver? I think they just stopped the vehicle. They just stopped the vehicle. Good job.
When I followed him, like I speed up a little just to take pictures of his license plate so my brother could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he brake checked me really, really hard. He sticked the middle finger at me, so I sticked it back. And he was riding on my ass, basically. And I saw him from, like, my rear mirror that he was, like, probably doing the middle finger at me, but I think it was the knife because when he passed me, he showed me the knife and, like, he kept waving it. And that's when I speed up to take the picture, and that's when he brake checked me.
I have a deputy coming to meet with you there at the cemetery, okay? Good job. You stayed really calm. You should be proud of yourself.
Thank you.
All right, have a good
day. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, too.
What a great job by dispatch.
Both, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it amazes me. When I sometimes hear these things, I go, I would love to sit down with this young woman and just talk to her about, like, you are so calm. Like,
right.
Someone just, you got in a road rage incident. They try to crash into you. Then they stick a knife. And you're just like, oh, you know, I caught up, took a picture. I love the, looked like he stuck his middle finger at me, so I stuck it right back. Oh, lo and behold, you know, again, you know, Frisco Police Department helped us out, was able to locate that car because they were ahead of us. And we, because of her identification and the photo she took and how articulate she was, everything matched up. The guy did have a knife. Got the knife, and he went to jail.
So brandishing a weapon and threatening another driver is definitely frowned upon.
In that stretch of roadway.
Yeah, or any stretch for that matter. So what are the penalties?
Isn't that something? Well, I mean, he'll get charged with harassment and, you know, he could be charged with a number of things, especially for brandishing the weapon.
Right. Yeah.
And the district attorney will sort out those charges, but he'll go to jail, and or he did go to jail. You know, God bless this young woman for just being so calm, because it's, we get one or the other. Either it's someone who is just completely lost their
yeah.
mind,
yeah,
or someone like this where they're just, and you can tell she's sounds like a young girl,
uh-huh,
traveling with her brother, she says. And
just
knew
very
that,
matter of fact about everything.
And knew that she wanted to get a picture of that license plate, that would help capture this person, and did it.
So there's some advice. If you find yourself in a situation where there's tensions running high,
stay calm.
Take a deep breath.
Stay calm.
Stay calm.
We never encourage you to get involved and start chasing somebody because it could end badly.
Yeah.
Could end really badly.
Thankfully, it ended okay for everybody
for
in
everybody.
This case.
And yes. She didn't get hurt.
Let's talk about this DUI when deputies stopped a motorist on I-70 after observing the vehicle weave out of its lane four times. Yeah, that's definitely a sign that there may be something amiss.
Yeah, especially on I-70, yeah. Right? So this is like you know, like videos you see of cars weaving, right? And you're like, oh my God, is that really what a DUI looks like? You know, because
right.
People are like, DUI, I mean, how do you know? And sometimes they're really exaggerated. Well, this is one of these exaggerated ones, and you walk up on the car, and the floor of the car is littered with beer cans,
oh.
And there's a beer right between the person's yeah. leg. You know what I mean?
I was just trying to change the radio station, that's all.
You know, this is like one I think we talked about last week, where you think, oh my God, this person was traveling down an interstate. Who knows where they were going? And they're hammered, completely hammered.
Wow.
Drinking in the car with the beer cans littered all. I mean, they had been traveling down the road for some time, drinking and throwing the cans behind them, you know?
Yeah. So I'm guessing this person was...
They failed the sobriety test and went to jail.
Arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arrested.
That happens.
We arrested their travel.
And thanks to the Summit County Sheriff's Office for taking another dangerous driver off the road. You're listening to the Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93 with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. We get to visit on the radio. If you want to listen to us live on Crystal 93 at 93.9 in Summit County and 93.1 in the Vale Valley and streaming around the world at crystal93.com, you can catch us Thursday mornings at about 7:45.
Yeah.
And we talk about some stuff.
We talk about stuff.
But then we talk about more stuff on the Justice Files.
We have a little longer time to dive into stuff here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we hit the high notes on Thursday mornings.
Right, and then some of the low notes on the Justice Files.
Yeah, bah, there it is again.
Another traffic stop. A deputy stopped a motorist in Dillon Valley for a traffic violation. And during the contact, the driver provided a fake identification card.
Yeah, you know, here again, if you're going to be driving around and doing illegal stuff, don't attract the attention of law. Don't break the law and attract the attention of law enforcement. Right. It really makes no sense. But, you know, we don't catch the smart ones, right?
Yeah.
So talk about technology. Some of this cool technology that's out there for law enforcement is we have mobile fingerprint readers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when someone presents us with an ID that just doesn't look real to us, mm-hmm. we're able to fingerprint that person and see if maybe they're in the big system somewhere. And this guy turns out, his driver's, the reason why he had a fake ID is because his driver's license had been taken away because of a DUI. And he had three warrants out for his arrest.
Three warrants.
Mm. License taken away. He's out there driving, still conducting traffic violations, committing traffic violations, and decides to, I'm going to try to present this fake ID to the deputy. Maybe they won't know.
They always know.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm guessing he spent the night in jail.
Yeah, another one goes to jail. Fingerprint readers, careful. We have lots of technology out there.
Well, there was another traffic stop, routine traffic stop. Driver lied about his identity, gave fake information when asked for his driver's license. Is this becoming a common theme?
So, yeah, this is a common theme. This is another fingerprint reader situation where the guy gives a fake. It doesn't check out, right? My name is Tom Fricke. Name doesn't check. Like, are you Tom? Really? Are you Tom Fricke? They do run up to the fingerprint reader, find out who he really is. This guy also has two warrants out for his arrest and is drunk driving. So the reason why they pulled him over was for traffic violations, you know, seeing that weaving. And he was drunk and trying to lie about his name. Technology.
That does not end well for people who try to do those sort of things. Technology will catch up with you, and then the deputies will catch up with you as well.
Yeah, I brought those two up because this is the first time I think we've talked about fingerprint readers.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting, newer piece of technology. Like, it used to be where if you presented what we thought was a fake ID or we weren't comfortable with who you were presenting yourself as, we would literally take you to the jail and fingerprint you. We'd run you through our electronic fingerprint system here. And so now deputies are able to do it in the field. I mean, it's just a little tiny gadget, and they're able to fingerprint people in the field, run their prints right there.
All the sheriff's office cars have those readers?
Yeah, we have them spread out through the field.
Awesome.
And some of the other police departments, but they're readily available to anybody in the field right now, which is it's another game changer for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Saves a lot of time.
And for the bad guy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Technology. It's an amazing thing when used in proper proportions.
There it is.
Yeah. Well, there's fraud going around. A woman in unincorporated Breckenridge was the victim of an attempted theft after receiving a phone call from a toll-free number claiming to be Verizon, her phone carrier. Shortly after the call, her phone number was transferred to a different carrier. Her phone was shut off, and she noticed someone trying to access her bank and credit card accounts.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
Yeah, so luckily, you know, she acted quickly. I mean, this is another common fraud scheme where they hijack your phone. And she was able to get in touch with both her banks really quick. They blocked her accounts. No money was taken in this fraud, but what was interesting is this suspect in this case was relentless that afterwards sent her, get this, hundreds of emails.
Wow.
Like spam emails trying to get more information out of her to continue the fraud scheme, which is really unusual. Like we haven't, this is the first time I've heard of where someone wants to, you know, has vengeance and wants to go after the person that they weren't successful getting money from. So now they're just going to spam them with emails. You know, of course, you know, we took a report for this lady, worked with her and her banks, but as the majority of these are offshore fraud schemes, we're not able to trace it. But that is odd where someone gets, where the suspect gets pissed off.
Right.
And decides they're going to just go after you relentlessly.
Just going to smother them with spam.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, we had quite an event at Copper Mountain over Thanksgiving weekend. It was called the Copper Cup with World Cup ski racers in our own backyard, men and women's races. And this event attracted a lot of people. During the Copper Cup, there was an older man who mistakenly believed that a juvenile had deliberately gotten him kicked out of a restricted area and was then following him around. He confronted the teenager, who was watching the event, taking pictures, and without any provocation, he tackled the boy to the ground.
You know, it's a podcast, not video, but can you imagine? Yeah. I mean, this was, as you said, the World Cup event we had here. We talked about it last week that it was coming. We had a few minor incidents. This was, you know, I certainly wouldn't say this was a minor incident because this was a much older adult that should be able to react a lot differently, that was just so overwhelmed with rage that he hunted this kid down and tackled him to the ground, was screaming and yelling at him, and had the deputies not intervened and people in the crowd, probably would have assaulted this kid more than just tackling him. And thank God that didn't happen. But this gentleman was also promptly arrested and escorted out of the World Cup games and escorted into our jail facility.
Charges?
He was definitely charged. Still with assault, because of tackling this kid to the ground. But, you know, you would expect that adults would behave a little better.
You would think. Especially with an event that's on the world stage.
And we were on the radio. Remember what I was talking about? Can everyone just please behave like adults?
Somebody wasn't listening to the radio that morning.
No, someone wasn't listening to Crystal that morning. Yeah. It shows you if he would have listened to Crystal, he may have not gone to jail. That's what I'm trying to say.
Listen to the radio and avoid arrests.
Well, listen specifically to Crystal 93, yes, not just the radio.
Crystal 93 is the one to listen to. Well, a big thanks to the Summit County Sheriff's Office and all the local law enforcement agencies who had a big presence at the Copper Cup ski races. I mean, I saw you guys all over the place. It was great to see that presence.
Yeah.
And I would think that order was maintained.
Order what? You know, for such a big event, order was maintained. I mean, we had a couple minor incidents. Which is to be expected. I mean, we have minor incidents without a World Cup game.
Exactly.
At Name Your Ski Resort on a weekend in Summit County.
And stay tuned because the best of the ski season is yet to come, and we'll be covering it on the Summit County Justice Files.
We will. And we'll make sure we get those audio files.
Yeah. There was another traffic stop to talk about. During a routine traffic stop, a driver claimed that he didn't have a driver's license, didn't have a passport, or any other form of ID on him. And he said he was borrowing the car from a friend, and then he gave the deputy a fake name and a fake date of birth. What?
I you know, you can't make this up. I mean, it's just routinely happening. This guy, again, was the reason why he borrowed a car is because his car had been taken away, with his driver's license.
Oh, imagine that.
Because he's what the state of Colorado calls a habitual traffic offender.
Wow.
So, I mean, you've got to be a habitual traffic offender to get that status on your driving record.
Not a status that you want to achieve.
No, you probably won't get your license back anytime soon. But we were able to figure out who he was eventually, again, fingerprint readers, and went to jail, and the car impounded, and his friend probably had to pay now to get the car out.
Wow.
Yeah, not good.
Any outstanding warrants on this guy or anything to that effect?
No, just a revoked license and arrested for providing false information to the deputies.
Let's talk about some unlawful conduct on public property when a deputy witnessed a family hauling a tree they had cut down near the Lowry campground area and loading it in their truck bed. And when contacted, they provided a permit that had been obtained from the U.S. Forest Service to cut down a tree for their Christmas decor. However, they had misunderstood where they were allowed to cut down trees, and they cut down a tree from an unlawful area. And we have some body cam audio from that incident.
Hello. Hi. Where are you guys from?
Here.
You are here.
Yeah.
So cutting trees here is illegal.
Let's even get to
you
the
guys,
point.
You guys have a permit?
Yeah.
So anything that is in any of the recreational areas, which Swan Mountain is considered recreational, pretty much anywhere that you can see anywhere around here is prohibited.
Okay.
I know that.
So you really have to know where you guys are cutting the trees.
Okay.
It's a big deal. Shoot. We just gathered some people that were over there yesterday, just going up like below the bike path, and we had to talk to them. Luckily, they didn't cut anything down yet or not. We'll just have to see what the deputy does. She's already turning around.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, so the Forest Service, you know, they've got the maps and everything at the Dillon District.
This
they
one
also
of our
have
community
an
service officers.
Yeah, no,
it's just so
look,
nice.
Right? I could swear I called them a year or two ago, and they're like, oh, yeah, because all this stuff's clear-cut, you know, years ago, and, I mean, it's growing so tight together.
I know.
It's all going to die anyway. It needs to be thinned.
I know.
And they don't do any of that stuff. They just let it go to shit.
Yeah.
So, he's helping the forest.
So
he's an expert forest.
Forester.
Steward.
Yeah. I wasn't familiar as far as where you could be cutting around here. You can't. Anything that's around the Swan Mountain area, it's considered the recreational area. And so you can't do it in recreational areas, wilderness areas, obviously private property unless you have permission. You know, and then there are a couple other things that go along with it. You guys don't have it, but no blue spruce.
I know.
You know, it's tricky with those blue spruce because some of them are the Engelmann spruce, and
yeah,
those are okay.
Yeah, the more green ones.
Yeah,
right.
And those are okay, but let me just see where she's at.
Hi, guys.
Howdy.
Hi, I'm Deputy Porter. Work for the Sheriff's Office.
Yep.
Yeah, so unfortunately,
yeah.
We can't cut down trees.
Yeah, so.
That's what she was telling us.
Yeah. In the future, there are, like, permits that you guys can apply for. There's some at, like, Gold Hill, for example.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, Fruit Creek is a good too. Over there because some of those
so, yeah,
you're
going
to have that.
Yeah. Cool.
So.
Yeah, just sit tight, okay?
It's amazing when you look at all the trees around here.
They're everywhere, and they're so tightly bunched together that it needs to be thinned out. I'll take care of that.
See? That's what he was doing.
I got a chainsaw.
I love his justification about, you know, and it's all true. This was all clear cut. They've all grown back. We're going to have another problem here, so I'm just trying to help clear the forest.
Man.
But what's interesting is, have you ever done this? Have you ever gotten a permit from the U.S. Forest Service?
I have not.
So what's interesting about it is my daughter has done it before. And I haven't, but when you look at the maps they give you, God bless the Forest Service, unless you know how to read maps, I mean, like really like topographical maps, It's really difficult to understand like where you can and can't cut trees.
Wow.
Because it's just this, it's I couldn't even, because she came to me going, of course, my dad's a sheriff. He can figure this out.
Sure.
I'm like, I have no idea. I said, you should go down to the Silverthorne office and say, can you just tell me, like, where, like, what streets, like, I can cut a tree down? So, I mean, I understand how they probably got a little confused.
Well, just the fact you got a permit. Oh, boy, let's go get a tree.
Yes.
And you don't really look into where you are allowed to get that tree.
And we are surrounded, and we talk about this on the podcast, we're surrounded by national forests. I mean, 86% of Summit County is national forest.
And there's lots of trees.
So naturally, one would think, I guess it doesn't matter what tree I cut down. It just says I have a permit. And so, I'm trying to clear out the trees.
Now, what did you find out when your investigation on where the
It was tricky. So, you know, what I just recommended to my daughter at the time was, you know, in my neighborhood where I live here, like many of us, like you, the backyard is the national forest.
Sure.
And I said, well, I know that's the national forest. You can just go cut a tree there. And she did.
because she couldn't figure it out. So these people were warned. I mean, we warned them, just said, enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy the illegal tree that you have a permit for, right. That you were trying to help the forest.
So they weren't fined or no. made to put the tree back no. where you found it.
Yeah, go plant that
go
tree.
Replant that. And plant five more seedlings
what
just because
you soak it in water and then the roots will start or something, right?
Sure, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
Go stick it in the lake.
Oh, let's
check your permits.
Let's hope everyone checks their permits for where the tree cutting is permitted for the holidays. We want everybody to have good holidays without illegal foliage in their living rooms. Let's talk about this assault. There is a skier at Keystone who thought that a snowboarder downhill from her was turning too wide and claimed that he nearly caused several collisions, including one with her. And she stopped near a sign on the ski hill and flagged him down to let him know how she felt. And we have a call on this.
911, what is the address of your emergency?
I'm at Keystone on the hill, and I need to report assault. We have ski patrol with us right now.
So was this an assault or a collision?
Yeah, it was on the hill. Ski patrol said if I wanted to escalate, I should call the police.
Okay, tell me what happened there.
We were having an argument, and then they got physical. I pulled my phone out to film them. He put his arm around me while skiing and just took me down, sent my phone flying. I was filming on my phone just to prove their behavior, and he just took me out physically, and that's why I want to report the assault. My pinky's pretty much jammed in the snow, too. It feels pretty hurt. They're calling me in right now.
Did you get all that, Tom?
Yeah. Well, my coworker's on the line with them. Do you need medical attention?
No.
Okay, and is Ski Patrol helping you guys exchange information as well?
Not between parties, but they're escorting us down.
They're escorting you down?
Yeah.
I have all the information I need from you. I do just stay cooperative with Ski Patrol and follow them down to a meeting location, and then Sheriff's Office will meet you at wherever the meeting location is that you can meet at, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. I'm sorry that happened, and thank you for calling us in.
Thank you for your help.
Yep. Bye.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Hi, I'm at Keystone Ski Resort, and I need to report an assault.
Okay, are you on the mountain?
Yes, I'm with Ski Patrol, and they said I should call the police.
Okay. And what exactly happened?
We were skiing, and he almost crashed into me twice coming from the side. I stopped and I yelled at him to be careful and be around, aware of his surroundings because we were on a green run. Sure. And he started filming me with his phone, and I just said, be careful, and we took off, and then he started intimidating me on the hill, and then he took my left ski out with his snowboard, but I was able to maintain my position. And when my husband saw that he had assaulted me, he ran into him and bumped him.
All right, thank you. We do have this out to officers already. Like you say, the other person called at your site here. We're going to send out a deputy to assist and sort through everything. Mm-hmm. So I would probably hang tight with Ski Patrol. Keep yourself safe and separated from the other person.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
It's one of those incidents I'm surprised that there aren't more of. With early season conditions, very little terrain open, and a whole lot of guests all vying for that same square footage that you're going for.
Everything you just said. Like we talked about on the radio this morning, we need it to snow only so more terrain can open up and people can spread out.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is like the chicken or the egg, right? Like, this is where deputies have to figure out. I mean, it's... You get in an argument, and then you're going to continue to follow someone and film them, and then someone else is going to get pissed off, and then it escalates it again, and now all of a sudden there's an assault or someone gets taken to the snow. The end result of this was both parties ended up getting a ticket, a summons for assault. This was a he said, she said. And they both wanted to pursue charges, and it was hard to determine who was the aggravating factor here. So they both get a ticket, and the judge will have to sort it out.
So as we have Flock cameras on all the roads, how soon before Flock cameras are all over the ski runs so we can figure out what the hell is going on?
Jeez. That'll be the next controversy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? It's funny you say that. I should say it's not funny you say that.
I'd actually be in favor of it.
Because we have often asked the ski areas when we have serious injuries, deaths, yeah, all this stuff that happens on the mountain, we have often said, any chance there's a camera somewhere in the mountain that you'd like to disclose?
And there are a lot of cameras around the mountains, but just not every run is monitored.
Usually not where it happens.
And the bottom, yeah.
Yeah, never where it happens.
Right.
Yeah, but these two ended up both getting a ticket and going their separate ways. So they'll fight it. They'll continue to argue about it in court.
So again, with early season conditions, limited terrain options, and a whole lot of people, you just got to really slow it down, make a lot of turns, be aware of your surroundings, and watch others respect their space.
Yeah, and if you're local, go early or don't go at all.
There you go. Good advice.
Or go in the backcountry. Oh, wait a minute. That's all rocks and sticks and twigs right now.
Yeah.
It's really odd to sit here in December to talk about, like, we still see dirt.
But there's weather on the way.
Yes, there's weather.
Winter weather is arriving soon, just in time for the holidays. Woohoo!
It's going to snow because Tom said it's going to snow.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Mother Nature and I, we're tight. There is a fraud incident in late October. Deputies investigated a fraud in which the victim said a suspect fraudulently signed her name on a camper title. The victim explained in 2024 she and her neighbor purchased a camper together, and both their names were on the title. In 2025, they had a falling out, and the victim went to the DMV and found out her name was no longer on the title, and the title was transferred to the suspect's name. The victim said that she did not sign over the title and believed the suspect forged her signature. Wow, a lot of technicalities on this.
Yeah, you know, this is one that comes from our detectives, our criminal investigation division, and these things, it is a lot of, you can see what you just said. There's a lot of work that goes into these. What they ended up doing is they ended up getting the hard files from the DMV. This is through lengthy investigation, interviewing everybody on both sides. This was a dispute over a mutually purchased camper together. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it turned out that the guy that she said forged her name really did forge her name on a government title to a vehicle.
That's illegal.
Ooh, that's a bad one.
Yeah.
So he was arrested and went to jail. And the camper incident will then have to be resolved civilly to see who, because they still both jointly own it.
Yeah.
It's just that he doesn't just own it.
That'll be
so there's still a whole resolution part of that that's not the criminal side of it, of you guys need to figure out.
Yeah, and that's stuff that we won't find out about on the justice file, as we can only hope for the best outcome possible.
No, but it is interesting that through all of this forensic investigation that the detectives were able to find out that it was a forged title. I mean, and this camper, we're not talking about a really nice, expensive, luxury camper. We're just talking about a beat-up camper.
Wow.
Yeah. But still, it's a camper. It's a camper to somebody.
Yep. It's somebody's property.
It's somebody's property. Yep. Can't do that stuff.
Kudos to the deputies.
Yeah, it was great.
For the investigators to get that all figured out. Yeah. Let's talk about a firearm in March 2025. Deputies responded to an address in Breckenridge in reference to a found weapon that was left behind at a unit and found by a property manager. The handgun was cleared with no return. A renter was contacted who said he left it there by accident.
We've talked about these before, people leaving guns here.
Yeah.
People traveling with, again,
Why?
Why are you traveling with guns, and why are you leaving them? I mean, how do you leave without not knowing that you left the gun in the nightstand drawer?
Again, responsible gun owners don't do that sort of thing.
We could go on a whole tangent,
right?
Yeah,
we could. Yeah.
So, you know, I bring this up because of the work that goes into this. First of all, it scares the hell out of the cleaning crew.
Yeah.
They see a gun and they're like, 911, you know. Right. They don't want it. They think guns fire by themselves and they're afraid to go near them.
Oh, yeah, guns kill people.
And we're not encouraging people to go. They're doing the right thing. They should not go near a gun and try to clear it or do any of that stuff. But you know, we can't just, so in this instance, the gun was run through the big computer system. It didn't come back registered to anybody. This renter claimed it was his, and could we just mail it back to him? And we don't do that with firearms. We have to somehow prove ownership. And so we're able to trace, you know, we can trace guns with serial numbers, which we have. You know, the other gun that was lost in the forest, we had nothing.
Right.
This one, we actually have the gun. So this time we're working from a serial number. We're able to trace it from manufacturer all the way to the gun shop that it was sold at. We were able to trace a former owner that said, I sold it to a gun shop, and this is the name of the gun shop, but I have no idea what that gun shop did with it. The gun shop that the detectives ended up contacting was no longer there, the second gun shop. And so obviously what the detectives told this guy is this gun will be held for a certain amount of time before we destroy it, or you can somehow prove, you got to prove your ownership. And then you got to, once you prove your ownership, now you've got to prove that you're able to possess a firearm. Because lots of times we'll find guns, we'll get guns, we'll contact the owner, we'll run the owner before we give it back to them, and we find out that they're not legally able to possess a firearm. For some criminal matter, whether it be a protection order, domestic violence, many reasons, a parolee, a convicted felon. Many reasons why people can't possess weapons that'll pop up in the system. But it's just interesting how people think like, oh, okay, Tom, just come on over and we'll just hand you back the gun. It doesn't work that way. Not with firearms.
Drop it in UPS.
Yeah, hey, if you don't mind.
Just can you FedEx that to me? I really need that.
Could you put a couple extra stamps on that?
Yeah, oh, man. So the gun, it's never had a registration, and did it get destroyed? I mean, I'm guessing.
It will. I mean, this just happened, and we're going to give this guy a little time to dig up something that shows that he owns that gun or where he purchased it from. But we traced it as far as we could, and the gun is safely in our evidence. But it's just interesting where people are like, if you could just stick that in the mail back to me, that'd be great. It's like, well, I got some questions of like, how do you leave that in a rental?
So going back, is it the fault of the gun shop or the guy who purchased the gun for not doing the registration process?
Yeah. Yes. Somewhere in there.
Okay.
Somewhere in there, that gun fell into someone's hands. I mean, maybe this is the rifle owner and he just says, I don't have the paperwork.
Yeah.
Maybe. But we could not link that together. We could not link him with owning this firearm, which means he could have just bought it on the street. He could have, an uncle could have, there are lots of things. You know, if people, again, were more responsible and didn't just give or sell firearms, if they did it properly, we wouldn't run into these situations. There wouldn't be so many guns out there.
So what happens if you're the recipient of your uncle's gun? Your uncle decided, hey, yeah, this is a cool little 38. You should have this. It's a gift.
Yeah.
What are the steps? What do you do at that point?
Depending where you live, where you're listening to this podcast, follow the law of that state. There are gun laws. In Colorado, now you have to take it to a federal firearm licensee to run the paperwork and transfer the firearm legally. So in Colorado, I mean, in every state there's laws, but I mean, there's lots of guns that just, you know, this doesn't even account for guns that are stolen,
right,
and all over the streets.
Yeah.
This is guns where a friend gives it to a friend, a relative gives it to a relative, and thinks like, oh, you're my uncle, you're my cousin, I can give you a gun.
Which you can do.
But we just ask that, please, just do it legally for instances like this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93 here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
And just so we're clear, again, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime or driving illegally, It never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
The Summit County Justice Files. You can also read the Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website. That web address is summitsheriffcolorado.gov. And until next time, this is the Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has the final say. And as always, a big thank you for your service to Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons.
Thank you, Tom.